1:34 on the midday show. Thanks very much for being along. It is time for the tech spotlight, and this is something we do every Tuesday at 1:30. And joining me in studio today is Heather Galt, who is the head of marketing at Kik. Thanks so much for being here. How are you?
Thanks for having us, Eric. It's great to be back.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because we're going to be talking about a hackathon, and we were just talking off air about what exactly that means. So we'll get to that in just a second. And also joining me is Jacob Willemsma. Did I get that right?
You did.
Oh, man, I said it right off the air, and then it's like sma.
Sma.
Well, thanks for being here. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Eric.
And you are a competitor participating.
I am, yeah.
In this. Okay, yep. So we'll get to it in a second. But first of all, let's talk about the Kik Hackathon. What is it? Why is it happening?
So the Kik Hackathon for us is a couple of really cool things, Eric. One is it's an opportunity for us to go out and meet some students who are really smart, have cool ideas, and want to actually take those ideas and turn them into something. They might not have a chance to do that otherwise. So we're giving them the mentoring and the exposure to some other folks in the community and an opportunity to meet with some of the folks who work at Kik, and we'll help them through the course of the weekend to take their ideas and turn them into reality.
Okay.
So for us, it's a cool opportunity to support that kind of hacking community in a positive way, and also to meet some super smart students that might one day want to work at Kik.
And everyone is signed up at this point?
That's right. We had 400, over wow. 400 applicants for 150 spots. And
okay.
I really wish we could have added more because we had some really awesome applicants. Unfortunately, we're just space limited this year. But
yeah.
We know there's a lot of interest, so we're already thinking about future years.
So this is happening this weekend,
that's
by
right.
the way,
yep.
At the University of Waterloo?
UW, that's right, in the Student Center. And we start off Friday evening about 6 o'clock. And we wrap up with the closing ceremonies on Sunday afternoon at 1:30.
Do people sleep during this time? No,
not much.
Not really.
No, nobody sleeps. So you're one of the participants. You're going to be in this.
Yep.
What made you want to do this?
I think hackathons are just a great kind of just block of time where you can just sit down and focus on building something really quickly, and you don't have to worry about, you know, like maybe you've got an assignment that's kicking in the back of your head. No, this is dedicated space just to build, and also there's going to be a bunch of people from Kik and maybe some other people that are industry leaders or people who have knowledge.
It's a good opportunity to network as well.
Yeah, it's a great way to network.
So let's talk about what a hackathon is exactly, because we've talked about this before, and a lot of people, and rightfully so, I mean, we keep hearing about hacking, and whenever you hear about hacking, it's always negative. You know, someone's trying to hack in to get your money. Someone, you know, everybody's been hacked in a way. I've had my credit card company call me and say, cut up that card. Something's happened. We're going to send you a new one. That's a form of hacking, I guess. Or maybe that's just something that we shouldn't be using the word for. What is hacking and how is it positive?
Sure. So hacking in the sense of a hackathon is not hacking into. It's more hacking something together. So you're building something really quickly. You're going in. You've got a few ingredients. You throw them together. You hack up a solution. So that's what hack is used in this sense. It's a positive building sense rather than hacking into.
Now, did you have to have an idea to be a part of this already, or is that coming? I mean, did you have to share your idea to be a participant?
We asked the students when they applied if they had an idea they wanted to build on and if they were willing to share it, but that wasn't a criteria for us, Eric, in assessing who was coming. Right?
So how did you do that?
So we looked at a number of different things. We looked at getting diversity of students across the years, across the programs they were in. So it's not all students in computer science and math and engineering. We've actually got students who are in design programs and business programs. Wanted to make sure we had a good diversity and a good mix. So some are first year, second year, third year, and so on. And we've got students coming in from Laurier as well as from UW. So we really made sure we had a good mix. We looked at some students who were coming in groups and some who were coming in on their own, just to make sure that the hacks we saw over the course of the weekend represented a really diverse set of ideas and opportunities.
So there is a judging panel as
there
well.
Yep.
Who are the judges?
So we have judges coming from the community as well as our CEO and founder,
okay.
Ted Livingston. And so, yeah, I'm actually pretty excited about not only the judging panel, but also some of the mentors we have coming in over the weekend.
Yeah, and prizes as well, right?
Well, we're hoping to focus more on the innovation as opposed to on the prizing.
Why am I building something? What do I win?
Well, but you know what? The why you're building something, we hope, is because you're really excited about an idea and you're really excited about the opportunity to just put everything else aside for the weekend and come and make that idea into something and see if it works, right?
Now, do most people come in with, you know, kind of a blank slate and just try to, I mean, give me an example of something that you might hack together. Putting you on the spot here.
Putting me on the spot.
Yeah.
Well, I'll use an example of a popular hack that was in a past hackathon, not a Kik one, but it was at, I think it was at MHax in Michigan.
Okay.
They hacked together a browser that uses your mobile instead of your mobile data. So it sends you text messages with the website content. So you can read text messages that have the website. So instead of, you know, having to have mobile data like 4G turned on,
right,
you can just have unlimited texting, which everyone has. And you just, you text them, you say, I want this website, and it sends the website back.
Wow.
So that was something that students built, I think, in 36 hours. And it was just launched, and they founded a company off of it. And I think it's called Cosmo Browser.
And it's a thing now.
It's a thing. Yeah.
Is this the first Kik one?
This is not actually the first Kik one. We did a few years ago, but this is the first one we're doing on campus.
Okay. And as far as interest is concerned, growing?
Absolutely. And the thing I find really awesome is there's super high interest at Kik as well as on campus.
Right.
So this is something that not only are students excited about, but our team's excited about it too.
Going forward, in terms of plans to get maybe more people involved, because as you mentioned, 400 people applying, 150, you had to cut it down, you had to narrow it down. And that's just because of space, as you mentioned.
That's right.
Is there perhaps a different, in the future, if it happens again, a different venue? Because it's just space, right?
That's right. Well, it's space, but it's also making sure that we've got enough mentors and enough volunteers to make it a good experience for the students. So if you're coming into Hack for the weekend, you don't want to have to think about food. You don't have to think about any of the other logistics, Wi-Fi, electricity for your laptop, all the things you need to sort of have the basics in place so you can put your idea to work. We want to make sure that there's enough of that for everybody. So I don't know that we would ever do a hackathon of 500 or 1,000 people, because you don't necessarily get the same kind of intimate experience. But can we make it bigger next year? And will we? Absolutely.
Plus, that's a lot of pizza.
Yeah, well, there's no pizza at our hackathon,
no?
Just for the record. No, we're bringing in really good food.
Like, what, good as in healthy?
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far. But definitely not pizza. We want to have, like, good food, right? Fun, enjoyable food.
Okay.
And 24/7 we'll have food and snacks and drinks. And
maybe someone will hack a way of bringing some food in or something. I don't know.
Will hack a pizza place for
not,
us. Right?
Not the most creative guy over here. Do you have an idea heading into this?
Yeah, I do.
And you don't want to share that on the radio,
I can keep it. I'm going to keep it fairly secret. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Well, listen, good luck to you. I want to thank you guys for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
And thanks for bringing this to our attention. And if you do it again, let us know.
We will, for
because
sure.
I'm interested to see how this grows. And are most people working on software type of, because the example you gave, it's all software, it seems to me. But my mind is thinking hardware. Is anybody working on hardware?
So this particular hackathon's been set up mostly for software.
Okay.
But yes, there are definitely hackathons where hardware is either included or the focus, right? It really just depends on the company. But for us, you know, we're a software company, we're a mobile first company, so to do a software focused hackathon was where we wanted to go.
And there's no way of like coming and watching this or anything like that, right?
I mean, you know what? It's in an open area at the university. If you wanted to pop in and see us, we're there. You can drop by and say hi and see what the students are up to. And I think you'll find a lot of, you know, bedhead and
a lot of bottles of caffeinated drinks. Live.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool.
Right?
There will definitely be pictures on Twitter from our Kik account over the weekend and on Instagram of what the students are up to.
All right. I want to thank you guys again for coming in.
Thanks for having us, Eric.
And good luck, okay?
Thanks.
All right. We'll be back with much more. It's a Tech Spotlight here on 570 News.
Get 570 News, traffic, weather, and up-to-date information right to your BlackBerry, iPhone, or Android. Anywhere and everywhere. Download the 570 News app at 570news.com.
1:47 on the midday show. Thanks for being along here on 570 News. It is the Tech Spotlight. I want to talk about the REV program. Sam Legg is REV program manager at Communitech. Communitech is launching its first of its kind sales accelerator for tech startups who already have products and are looking to make money fast. And who doesn't? And in March, Communitech REV will take up to 10 companies with diverse teams, like female co-founders, et cetera, for the 6-month program where they will get sales educated and mentoring. And Sam, thanks so much for being here. Really appreciate your time. How are you?
No problem for having me.
You just told me before we got on the air that you're originally from London.
I am.
And you're a Knights fan. And so I'm going to have a talk
with producer
Haley Zimek about letting a Knights fan in this studio. I'm kidding. Good to have you here. Tell me about the REV program.
Yeah, so basically we've taken a program that we've had in the past 2.5 years called Hyperdrive. It's an accelerator program. What accelerator programs are in the startup tech world is basically a program where they take companies, sit them in an office space, all co-located at one time, usually for about 3 to 6 months. And we focus on making these companies be accountable to certain milestones that they've set out themselves as we've set them for them as well. And making them do more work in the 6 to 3 months, whatever the program length is, than they would otherwise. And mostly that's due to, you know, learning from their peers, as well as kind of bringing in mentors and experts from the area, which we have a lot of here in Kitchener-Waterloo, that we can kind of leverage and bring them all together into one location and really have a chance to highlight a couple of really key, high-potential companies in the area and make them grow faster.
Well, what's interesting to me is that, I mean, I get a chance to talk about this quite often. And so as far as, you know, accelerators are concerned, why in this particular case is it focused on sales? They're not often focused on sales, right?
No, actually, to my knowledge, and I've been working on this for a while now, it's only program of its type in the world, if I've done my research correctly.
And then, why sales?
Well, I think for a couple of reasons, but the main reason here in Kitchener-Waterloo is, and many people are, I'm sure, aware of this, is that with the University of Waterloo and Laurier, doing a great job of educating students and mostly technical students, a lot of great engineers, a lot of great computer scientists are great at building great product. And being my engineer myself, I know that the biggest struggle is, you know, once you've built the product, what's the next step? You know, when do I start selling? How do I start selling? And how do I hire my first sales guy? Because the CEOs of these companies are usually technical people, engineers, who have been trained technically, but never have ever in their life sold something. So being a CEO, you're always selling your company, but now it's time to sell the product. And there's a big transformation that takes. And I feel like the program is really going to be garnered towards companies who want to make that transition as fast as possible.
Have you watched Silicon Valley? The show?
A little bit,
HBO
yeah.
HBO show?
Yep, yep.
Well, not to kind of stereotype here, but that's really what that show is about is,
sure.
You know, a bunch of guys that are technically sound, they're engineers, they're, you know, they can make a product and they mm-hmm. have a product, mm-hmm. you know, how do you market it now? How do you sell it? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where you're coming from because it's true, you could be very good at making something, it doesn't mean you can sell it.
Yeah, I mean, and companies have done it before, these companies, so why reinvent the wheel and try to learn it yourself
exactly.
when you can kind of get people that have hands-on experience in larger tech companies and say, hey, this is how you find your first customer. This is how you sell to them. This is how you close the deal. This is how you support them. That kind of stuff. So,
tell me about Rev specifically. How many people are you dealing with?
In terms of company?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're dealing about 8 to 10 companies every 6 months. So starting in March, later end of March, we'll be dealing with 8 to 10 companies for 6 months. And then it'll start again in October. And really, it's going to be 8 to 10 companies of about 5 to 6 employees, we're guessing. All in this space over in Communitech, sitting in the same area, working mostly on how to build out their sales teams. But those companies will be from all sorts of different areas of interest, from educational technologies, from hardware companies to simple business-to-business sales companies. So they'll be all over the map, and I think that's actually what makes it the most interesting is because there'll be a lot of different learnings and overlappings from all mm-hmm. the different companies that they'll share between each other.
So as far as some of the mentoring that you do, would that be you, yourself?
Or no, I mean, I'm not going to claim to be an expert. I'm 25 and in no way, shape, or form an expert or anything. But what we do is really use our network, which Communitech, I think, is its biggest asset and a very unique asset in the sense of the landscape of tech communities in the world, is its ability to access and leverage the network in Kitchener-Waterloo and bring in the experts that these guys need. So it's a program where we're going to be sitting down with these companies and analyzing them in 4 different areas, what their gaps and processes are. And then we're going to go out and find the people that are necessary and bring them into the program and have them sit with the companies and actually do stuff with them and teach them, you know, how to become more efficient, how to become more productive, and how to become more effective in selling their product.
If a company is going through Rev, what stage are they at? They have a product that's ready to go. They just need help selling it.
Yeah, so I think we're dealing mostly with companies who have sold it to a couple of first customers. And the reason for that is that at that point, we know that they've gone through the legwork of actually figuring out who their first couple of customers are. We're mostly theorizing that those will be low-hanging fruit for these companies. And now the next step is how do we find the companies who they don't have relationships with and they can sell to them. So dealing with those companies and, you know, they've, you know, again, 5 to 6 employees, roughly a couple $1,000 maybe a month in revenue. And we're hoping that, you know, with the program, the 6 month program, we can take a couple $1,000 and turn it into a couple tens of thousands mm-hmm, of dollars mm-hmm. if we do our job right.
And then they leave.
Then they leave.
Bird's nest and they're on their own.
Yeah. And hoping that they will help them, you know, figure out real estate options for building out their first office. And mostly this all stems back from the fact that in the last 2.5 years, there's been massive transformation. I mean, Silicon Valley, the TV show, is a perfect example
yeah.
of how all these tech companies are obsessed with raising capital. That is their goal, which the goal should not be raising capital. The goal should be, how do you make as much money from your customers as fast as possible? Because the best way to raise money, the cheapest way to raise money, is to sell your product. And the best way to raise capital from venture capitalists is to prove that you can sell your product. So we're trying to, in the region in general with this program, kind of reshift the focus, bring it back to the center stage, which is focus on revenue, focus on selling to your customers. Everything else will fall into place from there.
How long has this been going?
The program itself?
Yeah.
We've been through a transformation phase about for 5 months. So HyperDrive's last cohort ended in August. We had about 5 companies graduated then. A couple of great companies who are now moving on and doing great things. And actually, funny enough, they are now, you know, possible candidates for the next round of HyperDrive, next round of Rev. So we just announced the program about 3 weeks ago, and they'll be starting in March, so the first cohort then.
Interesting. Yeah. And can you talk about certain companies that maybe have gone through that we might know of?
There's a couple ones. I don't know if you've had BitHound or Linkit on the radio already. You know, a couple companies that have done, you know, working on really interesting technologies and doing great things already in the area. You know, those aren't maybe the people who will be in the next cohort of Rev, but, you know, companies like that of what the stage that we're looking at for
right.
the next
well,
round.
And the reason why I asked that question is because you're right. I've had a couple of these companies on the radio, but also, I mean, this is about growing these companies here locally. But ultimately, I mean, what does any company want? I mean, don't you want to become global? Don't you want to,
exactly.
you know, and that's the goal here. It's not just about Waterloo Region in this particular case. It's about ultimately going global, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think the Kitchener-Waterloo's got the advantage in the sense that it's not Toronto, so therefore we have to think global immediately when you start a business here. There's not a lot of headquarters here. There's not a lot of things,
yep.
right? So immediately you're looking elsewhere outside of Kitchener-Waterloo. But at the same time, you know, we have Toronto companies who are interested in coming out to Rev because it gives them a little bit of chance to get away from the distractions that is Toronto and focus on really hunkering down on their business. But Kitchener-Waterloo, you know, does struggle, I think, sometimes and really getting out there, getting on the plane and flying to customers and getting in front of them and selling to them. And so we're, you know, a lot of this now is done via the phone, you know, because you're selling to smaller accounts instead of large corporate accounts like someone like BlackBerry would be selling.
Right.
So I think a lot of it can be done from Kitchener-Waterloo, and there's not a necessity to be in Toronto or not a necessity to be in a large metropolitan area. And with those metropolitan areas comes a lot of, you know, ridiculous costs that, you know, can't be supported by a startup, including, you know, your rent and food.
Right. What do you attribute the big boom in the startup culture? I mean, is it shows like the Dragon Den and Shark Tank, and, you know, you see all these people with all these ideas that come onto these shows and are pitching these ideas, and I don't know. It's just, I don't know what you attribute to this big startup culture.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, and I'm not going to say that everything comes from this, but I think a lot of it is the empowering of younger individuals coming out of school, realizing that now it's cheap enough and it's affordable enough to actually start your own business right off the bat without having a lot of cash in your pocket. And it's very inspiring to people around them to see that these guys are going out and living their dream and doing what they want to do. And it just brings more and more people to the table every single time that the conversation happens.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there's a lot of people at the 40 to 50 year age group who are probably the most successful and most reliable in terms of startup success because they've been through a couple things.
Right.
They've got a bit of padding financially to carry this out for 1 or 2 years.
Well, and have made mistakes.
And made mistakes, exactly.
Understand, right?
And so that kind of stuff is also great. But in terms of inspiring, I think you're seeing a lot of parents look at their kids and saying, wow, this kid's, you know, he's starting his own business at age 23 and 24, and he's, you know, he's not making a lot of money now, but the potential is pretty high in the next couple of years. You know, I got to tell my friend's kids about this too. This is excellent, right? So that kind of stuff, that energy is just now, and Waterloo is such a small community, such a supportive community, that it's really taken a hold here in a big way.
I find it very interesting, and I do want to thank you for taking the time and coming in all the way across the street. Thank you so much
for
doing that.
Me.
Appreciate it. That is Sam Legg, Rev Program Manager. Communitech.ca/Rev is the website. That's it for us here on the Midday Show, All News Afternoon, with Joe Pavia, Laura Carney. Coming up next, right here on 570 News.